Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers podcast. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my ever-present, ever-loyal, always amazing co-host, Aramis Perez. How are you doing tonight, sir?
That was a lot of evers. I think you forgot effervescent.
You're always effervescent.
I'm so bubbly.
Oh, that got
I had to. That was a low-hanging fruit. I just had to grab
You're
it.
Right. Wow. All right. So if you're tuning in now, you might have tuned in Saturday night. But we were late last week, but tonight we're on time. So we're back on track. We're back on schedule. And we don't have much to talk about.
Oh, we got enough to talk about.
It's deja, I'm just kidding.
It's deja vu all over again for the people who are listening on Saturday.
Yes. So, so let's get right, into,
Untap a keep and draw.
All right. So, Aramis, how have you been?
It's been so long. I hardly recognize your face.
Yes. It's crazy. It's crazy talk.
It's been good. It was kind of a low-key weekend.
Loki as in, from the Avengers Loki?
Not quite that mischievous.
Oh, okay.
But it was just not a whole lot going on. We had a little bit of a snowstorm on Sunday night. Nothing too crazy.
You call that a snowstorm? Oh, you actually, for once, you Southern Tier people got it. So I'm all about that. It's like, us Northerners didn't have to really deal with it.
And we got, maybe 4 or 5 inches. It was no big deal.
Yeah, I got, an inch and a half. It was beautiful.
I was actually kind of disappointed. I was kind of hoping for a bit of a blockbuster, and then it kind of fizzled out as the weekend got closer, and I was like, oh.
Funny, that's how your wife describes your marriage. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, that just happened. See, I don't have a wife yet, so you can't make that joke.
Hey, Benson.
Yeah, don't even say it. 52-1 doesn't count.
Nope. 52-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Forever.
That's forever.
And
we're not going to talk about it tonight. We're going to save that for the 50th episode.
And a certain someone says it's never good enough.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That just happened. Wow.
Digging deep. So anyway, that's
digging deep
about
to me. The inside jokes that nobody else will get because we are professional broadcasters.
Yes.
Wow. So yeah. So, we've got, I got to tell you, Aramis, I'm jonesed for Friday. And I get it's just Friday night magic, but mm-hmm. to be able to hopefully sit across the table from you again and throw cards at each other and see who comes out on top. I mean, you're still in for Friday, right?
Yep. Unless somebody else, keels over or something.
Right, tell me about it. Mm. Yeah, so are we. I've got probably, I think we're going to have a full 7. So full 7 students coming with us.
Nice.
So it's going to be a good time. I'm just looking forward to it. Do you know what you're playing yet?
I am now on the fence as to what I'm playing. I was really sure 2 weeks ago. Now,
Bant
not
Nexus
quite so much.
Bant Nexus was
going
to be it, right?
Bant Nexus was going to be it. It's still a very strong contender. It's just I have, over the last maybe few days playing Arena, I've kind of run into a bit of a buzzsaw with the deck. I mean, it was an outdated archetype to begin with, and I get that, but I always liked how the white, you could kind of catch people off guard with Settle the Wreckage.
Yeah.
And that's not really helping anymore. So, I don't know.
Well, I noticed that, actually, it was Channel Fireball put an article up, today, actually, Teamer Nexus.
Yep,
so
I saw that article.
Paulo,
I read it.
Vitor Damodarosa.
Yeah.
Interesting build. Interesting build.
I mean, I remember seeing a list similar to that when they first started tinkering with Sultai. Not Sultai, but is it Sultai? What's the one with red?
Teamer,
thank you. I'm getting my wedges mixed up. Getting myself a wedgie.
Okay.
Expansion Explosion is stupid, sick, awesome, good in Nexus.
In Reclamation period. If you have Reclamation, you can... Yeah.
Explosion you for 20?
It's basically my game ender for my Nexus of Gates. I mainline 3, I sideboard 1. It's there. So
yeah.
I'm with that on that. I'm kind of in the same boat. you know, without getting into too deep, because I still want to save some stuff for main phase and definitely combat, I was running, you know, Nexus of Gates through gold, and it got me through gold. And then the minute I got to plat, I started blueing because Nexus wasn't really hanging anymore. Gold 4 and gold 3, I could Nexus of Gates. Gold 2 and gold 1 was blue. And then, you know, I was kind of playing around with plat and then the time ran out. I'm having the same bit of luck. Like, you, no matter what I play, I seem to end up playing the deck that is the absolute worst for the deck I'm playing.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's not even so much a matchup issue. I think I have to elevate my game, and I haven't been able to do that. So I've had a couple of, you know, bad hands and things like that, but I can't blame too much of it on that, because that's variance and that's magic. That's how it works. But you know, it's one of those things where it's like, before I could get on a, you know, 3-4-5 match winning streak, feel pretty good about myself, lose a couple here and there, still maintain a rank up. Now I'm still on gold 4, 0 pips, because I win like one match and lose 4.
Yeah, I think I'm gold 4, 3 pips, and it really is. You know, it went to the point where I was like, okay, Nexus is just not winning. I'm going to play blue because blue is old faithful and blue don't let you down. Mother fracker. It's like, if I'm not playing the mirror, I'm playing a burn deck. If I'm not playing the burn deck, I'm playing Esper.
Now, like, this, what that is, that's the metagame shifting, because remember, mono blue wasn't that big of a deal a week and a half ago.
No.
Now it's on everybody's radar big time, because they're like, oh crap, this is actually a really good deck. So
yeah, but if I'm playing Nexus of Gates, I end up playing blue almost exclusively. It's
mono blue's
really
a bad
kind
matchup.
Of annoying.
It's, yeah, like, mono blue is a very bad matchup for you.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. I mean, because the Nexus of Gate deck, and I mean, we'll talk about this in main phase, it's slow. Like, nothing's happening there for me until churn 4 or 5 at the earliest.
Yeah.
Unless I'm bringing out, like, I've started playing around with the level of gates I've got in that deck. And, you know, obviously I'm running 4 of the one there that gives you life, because it's stupid not to. I'm not running any of the gateway plazas. But I am running, huh?
You shouldn't be.
No, because the idea that I have to pay mana to, it's, no,
it's
screw off.
It's a good land in limited. It's kind of Terra bad in constructed.
So I actually have, like, 2 red, 2 blue, and 2 white, like, main in that deck, so that, well, the two reasons are, number one, if I end up in a settle of the wreckage, I've got something to search for. Mm-hmm. And number two, if I'm playing, you know, or an Assassin's Trophy, anything like that, that's going to make me go searching for lands, it's there. But number two is, it does help me curve a little bit without taking away the whole reason for us, you know, to play the gate deck, you know, which is to have, like, the little sheep there, the ram, become, like, Bombad or, you know, Gates Ablaze. That being said, I'm still finding it's just slower than hell. I mean, it's to the point where I am starting to wonder, like, Friday night, if I'm even going to play that deck. I was thinking about playing mono blue. Now, if you're playing mono blue, well, then obviously I'm not going to play mono blue, because, you know, I'm your buddy and I'm your pal, and, you know, I'll have to come up with something else. But, I mean, you know, we'll talk about that too in combat, but I've started building a little bit and playing around with some of the decks. So, but, you know, I feel like we've caught up. I mean, we're kind of excited for Friday night. We'll be going to Kerwin's Game Store again.
Yes.
So, Friday night magic. We're going to be there. We're going to be leaving center right around 4:30. We should be there by 5. So,
okay.
That'll be cool. But let's go ahead and get right into our main phase, because, you know, we're here and we're, you know, stuff's going on. So, here it comes.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So, we've got a few topics here. There was a Magic Fest this weekend. Now, it was Modern.
Yes.
So, it was Modern, and it was, you know, it was a broadcast, which was good. Channel Fireball picked up the ball. Jeepers. but Channel Fireball came in, and they actually did all the coverage. So, and I got to say, I liked their coverage.
I think their coverage,
saw.
I think their coverage is actually better than anything that Star City Games or Wizards has put out so far.
I would agree with that assessment.
And the biggest reason for that is because not only, I mean, the thing you run into with the big coverage teams is that you're going to be recycling talent. So it's basically the Wizards coverage team recording right. on Channel Fireball's Twitch channel. but what they had is that they had Cardboard Live's, what is it called? Overlay on the during the tournament. So you could actually click during the match to see each player's deck list.
If
you could also
click.
If you're on a computer, but there was actually right. also an option on mobile where you could do it as well.
Yeah,
they did have a mobile option.
I actually tend to watch on my Fire TV or my Roku. Like I like okay. watching it on TV, like a sporting yeah. event. So,
well, what they also had was a little thing, a button you could click on the overlay that also gave a brief bio of the players in the feature match area.
Right.
So they told you, hey, this is their third Grand Prix. They're hoping to make day two for the first time. They're from such and such, you know, like wherever, Ontario or whatever the heck they're out, you know. But it was
right.
it was a really nice little a nice touch to sort of give you a more of a personal, intimate view of the player that Wizards just doesn't do, because if it's not, you know, Paolo Vitor Damodarosa or
Reed Duke,
they're not going to tell you anything about these guys. Like, oh yeah, this is some random nobody who's about to lose to an MPO player.
Yeah, but here's BDM. No,
yep.
Which I'm going to miss him, by the way, but. Yeah, I really liked a lot of what they were doing with regards to coverage. I the time walking was top shelf. You know, I really kind of liked the way they kind of went between both the big events. They did have the Magic Fest LA GP there going, and it was modern, and it was, you know, exactly what you thought it would be.
Which
and
is
then,
awesome.
Yeah. And then what they would do, though, like they would switch over to the there was also a Mythic qualifier going on.
Yes, there was.
And the format was an interesting choice and a brand new choice. I don't think they've ever done it before.
They
it was Pauper.
Not. Yeah, they have never done this before where you could actually Pauper is now a legitimate DCI sanctioned format. You can qualify for Mythic Championships playing Pauper, which is
And
awesome.
What deck won? What deck was it that won?
Actually, I don't know what deck did win.
Boggles.
Really?
Yes. So a Pauper version of Boggles. So, I mean, without Ley Lines of Sanctity. But it's a powerful deck. There was, I guess, a lot of, not Delve, the other one there.
Dredge.
There was a lot of Dredge.
I'm
but there was
surprised.
Also, yeah, it was a pretty cool field. And I watched a little bit. And, you know, I love the Boggle deck. I mean, it's the first modern deck I built. Of course, you know, on the modern side of Magic Fest, the story was, is it? Phoenix Drake.
Is it
Phoenix Drake?
Yep.
Which, guess what deck I'm building?
Is it Phoenix?
Yes, of course. So I need four Thing in the Ice, I need four Mana Morphos, and dear God, I'll never get a Sculling Tarn until, you know, I win the lottery.
You're but... never, never, ever gonna. And you know what? Actually, that's a good quick segue because I have to sort of jump in about something real quick.
Okay.
During our last recording, we were talking about Modern Horizons coming out, and
absolutely.
I made a prediction that I
you
said
did.
That the Fetchlands would be reprinted in this set.
And you were?
I already have to say that I was wrong.
Wrong!
And you know what? That was my fault for not doing my homework. I did not
right.
realize that there was a, I believe a video aired
it
where
was.
They were talking about the set. And apparently the entire set is going to be cards that were never legal in Modern before.
Right. They will
Some of them are
be,
reprints.
Yeah.
There's going to be reprints, but there's also going to be a bunch of new cards. By the way, the new Sarah Planeswalker is already $50.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's not that good.
Well,
it's
I mean,
good.
it's gonna depend on what else is in the set. But
right.
Reading further and reading other articles about it, the consensus right now seems to be that they might print fixed dual lands,
mm-hmm.
as in dual lands that come in untapped without a drawback, but that also aren't fetchable.
Right.
So that's something to possibly look forward to. This is all complete speculation. I would be behind that if they did that. I do think that not reprinting the fetch lands in Modern Horizons is a gigantic mistake because Scalding Tarn is over $100 a piece now, and that's just absurd.
Well, nothing says they can't reprint it later. There is nothing that says they can't.
It would have to be in a supplemental set because they're on record saying that they're not reprinting Shocklands in standard legal sets. Not Shocklands, but Fetchlands.
Fetchlands, right. Well, I mean, and they also said they would never make another, you know, Modern Master set, but here we are. So,
yeah, not,
I mean,
they're not gonna,
but you
yeah,
know as
not.
Well as I do that this is what this is. I mean, you know what, and I've done a little bit more research myself on that set, and it does sound pretty great.
Yeah.
Personally, and we can get into this a little bit. Again, we don't do too much with Modern, but I really am starting to think that this whole set, usually Wizards doesn't do something like this without an ulterior motive that becomes, you know, evident later. And this is totally speculation, so don't take this with a grain of salt. But I definitely believe, first of all, that I have a feeling they're trying to put the end to Legacy or Vintage. I really do. I think they want Modern to move to more of that kind of, you know, niche type of format. So by printing cards that are Legacy legal or Vintage legal, and, you know, like the real format staples of that, and bringing them to Modern, it will let them say, okay, we have a Modern, you know, Modern's going to be Modern, but now we're going to have a Modern Standard, or, you know, Recent Standard, or whatever they're going to call it, you know, Relatively Recent Standard. I have no freaking clue what they'll try to call this thing.
I'm not so sure they'll go too crazy with that, only because some of the cards that are staples and standard would break, or not standard, but if they're staples in Legacy and Vintage, they break Modern in half.
Well, yeah, of course they're not going to put the P9, but...
No, I'm not even talking P9, I'm talking like, you know, Mother of Runes.
Actually, that was one of the ones I heard may get reprinted.
Wasteland, Ancient Tomb, things like that. They're
Everybody
not going to put those cards in there.
Everybody wants Wasteland back.
It's not going to happen.
of course, I don't think it's going to happen, but...
They're not going to go that crazy with... I mean, you're not going to see Force of Will in this set.
Actually, now I did watch the weekly MTG video of that. Mm-hmm. They talked, they were like, should we show like the best card we have, the blue card we have? And he got shot down. The only thing I can think of, if it's not Brainstorm, is Force of Will.
Could be like Deep Analysis too, you know?
I further lean towards Brainstorm because, I mean, Brainstorm,
Time Spiral.
Huh?
Time Spiral.
I don't think they'll do Time Spiral. But it's looking at this. I mean, everything we're seeing from Arena, from the esports, from the Standard, from the idea that, you know, they want to build like a new... I think they really do. They want to build a new Modern because they want to put it in Arena. And they could never get Modern in Arena. I mean, that's just not going to happen. I could see them doing something like, okay, we're going to go back to, you know, Battle for Zendikar. You know, we're going to grab those because that's only four more sets behind what they already have printed from Kaladesh. That would give them, you know, Zendikar, Gatewatch, Moon, and the Return to Innistrad or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. You know, they could do those four real easily. They'd have a really good quote-unquote Modern. And they could take these Modern master, this set that they're doing, and, you know, digitize that a whole lot easier, you know, and put it in Arena. So, like, I'm looking at this going, are they trying, you know, it's a very interesting thing. And again, it's speculation. This is way, nobody has said even remotely that this could happen.
The previews don't start until May.
Yeah. And, well, I'm looking at this, too. The one other thing, I took a look at that Planeswalker, and her emblem.
It's Worship.
It's definitely Worship, and I have a feeling you're right. I'm going to give this one to you. I think it's changing my mind in War of the Spark. I think in War of the Spark, they're going to come up with a way to interact with emblems.
Yeah, they have to.
Well, that emblem... itself, that emblem is broken. Like, if you can have Worship and have it be an emblem, like, holy cats.
Uh-huh.
Like, so yeah, now I'm starting to think that maybe Nicol Bolas's ultimate will be, you know, remove all emblems.
Don't even think it's going to be an ultimate. I think they actually will print a card that says destroy target emblem or exile target emblem.
Right. Because you know what, I was going back to thinking too about like what they used to say when Exile first came around, and they're like, well, you know, it's graveyard, there's graveyard, but then Exile is like, it's the graveyard you can't mess with, until now, where it's really another graveyard.
I mean, there's always been effects that could deal with things that are in Exile, but those are few and far between, and many of them are kind of powerful.
Right.
But I think going back to Modern Horizons, I think the blue card they're talking about, you're right. I think it's probably Brainstorm. I'm a little leery of that because blue's already pretty good.
Yeah.
And giving it Brainstorm, I don't know. That would be kind of a tough pill to swallow. But then again, we're going to find out in May. It could be a completely new card, too.
And it's interesting what they're doing with this. First of all, I mean, we didn't report on this, but Wizards is kind of being kind of douchey again, but because they went out of their way about 2 weeks ago to say, hey, we're going to remove the MSRP. We are no longer going to provide MSRP. And come to find out, this new modern set, it has a booster box of 36 packs, much like ours. However, it's retailing to retailers for something like $160.
Yeah, it's going to be
170, which means it's going to be a $200 box at retail.
Yeah, it's going to be $7 a pack.
And then you sit there and you say to yourself, but really, what if it sucks? Like, what if it's Iconic Masters again?
Here's what I'm going to say. I hated it when they did Ultimate Masters at $14 a pack or $15 a pack, which was way too high.
Right.
That set was full of ridiculous cards.
It was.
Modern Horizons having all new... It's a little confusing because it's a lot of new cards, and I'm guessing they're going to try to force a little bit of power into these cards because they're going to be for Modern, not for Standard, so they can kind of play with it a little better.
Right.
I'm a little surprised they scaled the price back unless they actually gasp, you know, holy crap shock, listen to their consumer base and realize that they can't get away with charging $15 a pack.
Well, I think they're getting tired of Dredge, and they're getting tired of Delve, and they're getting tired of these combo decks that are just owning, and Phoenix. They're getting tired of these combo decks that are owning Modern, and what better way other than with Standard and wasting cards in Standard that deal with Modern, which we just had in this last set. You know, the blue-white there, you know, Lavinia is strictly to vintage. Deal with Tron.
Yeah, you know? Well, vintage too. She shuts off Power 9.
Yeah, so, I mean, but they wasted a card. Nobody plays her. She's not in anything Standard. But, so, why not make a set of Modern cards that are going to shut off bits of Modern that they want to shut off because it's just not competitive anymore. It's not broken, it's not busted, it's not mono red in Standard last season, but it is. Is it Phoenix? Now, of course, the Modern metagame will shift. Somebody's going to break the code on Phoenix and figure out how to stop it. It's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, graveyard hate alone, I think this is going to bring a lot of graveyard hate. And I think this Modern set will have a ton of graveyard hate. Because they want to get rid of Dredge. They want to get, you know, or at least make it, like, you know, fair. Yes. So.
Well, if that's the case, though, they're definitely not reprinting Brainstorm. Because that does not fix Modern. That
but
breaks
Force
it.
Of Will, Force of Will might.
No, they're not going to do that either because everybody's going to have four.
Yep.
Because that's one of the best cards ever printed.
I would have to agree with that.
So I'm curious to see what they're going to do. I'm not sure if I'm going to buy any packs of it. If they had had fetch lands, I would have been like, give me a case.
Right.
But we'll have to see what's in the set. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Here's the thing. But Force of Will is just a 5-mana, you know, counter spell.
No, it's not. Nobody ever pays 5 mana.
I know they don't. You always pay 1 life and remove a blue card, but still, it's a great counter spell, you know. And I could see them wanting to do something like that. Where, you know, what else in blue could there be? What I mean, they here's the thing. They could make a Force of Will type card and say, you know, discard all blue cards in your hand. You know what I mean? Like, they could go that route. Mm-hmm. As far as that. I mean, because that's just it. What I'm seeing here is, well, look at the, what's the other one? I mean,
Therapist?
The Cabal Therapist. It's Cabal Therapy, but they called it Therapist because it's damn repeatable. That's the broken card in this, by the way. The fact that Cabal Therapist is repeatable. Like,
it's the flash,
yeah, the first time, the first time you're like.
It's the flashback cost on it, yeah.
The first time you're like, what do you got? You take a look at their hand. You take a look at their hand, and they're holding, you know, four, you know, I don't know, four Phoenixes or four whatever. And you're like, okay, I know what I'm naming next turn.
Yeah. Actually, like, you don't want to name Phoenix.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, you're just, that card there is broken. And it's
no,
it's
not.
It's
therapy. Not
it's therapy only different.
It dies
it's Cabal
to
Therapy. It's yeah, but it's Cabal Therapy only different. I could see them doing something with Force of Will the same way. Call it like Forces of Will or something stupid like that. I mean, I don't know. Again, speculation. But
yeah, Cabal Therapist is a good card. It's far from broken. It's a 1/1 for 1, so it literally dies to anything. And black can't save their own creatures. So I mean. It'll definitely see play. I think it'll definitely see play, but it's far from broken.
Right. Are you going to get a set? You going to buy a box?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it depends because the timing of the set kind of sucks too, because that's right before Core 2020 and right after War of the Spark.
Yeah. And I'd rather buy a box of Core 2020 personally.
Yeah, I'd rather stay relevant to Standard than to dip my toe into Modern, especially since there's no fetch lands.
It's weird. I've been going through a lot of my boxes because when I first got back, I bought a bunch of white boxes, like 2 or 3 of them, you know, with like 1,000 cards or 20, you know, 500 cards or whatever. I've got a lot of the Phoenix deck, except for Thing of the Ice and Mana Morphose, but
Scalding Tarn.
Yeah, and Scalding Tarn. But I mean, so I'm kind of looking forward to kind of putting that deck together. Be like, okay, guys, you don't want to play Standard anymore. You know, the guys at work. Okay, we don't have to play Standard. And let me tell you, they're getting mad at me. Oh, dude, they're getting pissed. And it's even the gate deck. I'm like, this is not even that big of a deck. They're like, we can't hang. It sucks. I'm like, but guys, this isn't even that good of a deck. Like, it's slow. They're like, well, we never have a chance. And you get the ram out or you counter. One guy got pissed because I played the Frilled Mystic. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do about it?
You should start playing Sultai Midrange.
I've thought about it. I have that deck.
Popping off 7/7 Krasis. See what they think about that.
All right. Well, let's, you know, so, and like I said, the other thing, but, you know, Popper being that format was kind of great. You know, I'm good with GPs right now, and I'm looking forward to London. I'll definitely watch London just because of the freaking mulligan rule. So, but let's, I think we should, we did a pretty good main phase there. Why don't you and I go ahead and get right into combat and see where we're going now.
Okay.
Combat phase.
All right, combat phase. So tonight's combat, it's kind of more opinionated. Who knows how this will be? But, you know, the question I want to ask is, okay, right now, what's the best deck in Standard? What are you playing? What's the most fun? What's the most broken? What you know, other than Mono Blue, we all can agree Mono Blue is really, really good. But, you know, what is your best deck? Like, what are you going to play this week? Are you playing, you're thinking about playing Mono Blue, right?
It's either going to be Mono Blue or Bant Nexus.
Okay.
That's where I'm sitting right now. But if I had to pick
up. How is it you've bought like 55 boxes of the last 4 sets and you can't build another deck?
It's the Mythics.
The Mythics.
I'm missing all the $20, $30 Mythics.
Like my, yeah, you ain't borrowing my Hydroid Crisis. No, I'm just kidding.
I may ask for that again. I mean, it's
I know.
I'll have one copy of it, but the deck wants 4.
Yeah.
You know, so it's if I didn't open them in the box, you know, I'm hard pressed to just go out and buy the single.
Right.
I mean, I may have to bite the bullet when if I decide what deck I'm going to play, especially for SCG Syracuse.
Right.
Best deck in the format right now.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, I would say Sultai Midrange.
Yeah. Okay, but then how do you explain that, though? Because it didn't even top eight.
It did not top eight. I think the biggest thing with the deck is it's tough to quantify. And I think this is actually a good thing. This goes back to what we were talking about last week. Standard is healthy. Standard is diverse. There are a lot of good decks you could play.
Right.
I don't think there's really a clear-cut best deck. I think Sultai is probably the best positioned deck right now.
Okay.
Only because of its consistency.
Do you know who won in Syracuse? For the Standard Classic?
That was Simic Nexus.
Simic Nexus.
Yeah, Simic Nexus won that one, yeah. So it finally won a big tournament. So there's finally getting some big results. But I think Sultai Midrange is the deck you take to a tournament if you want to give yourself the best chance to win.
Right.
It relies less on luck
right.
than the other decks because it's much harder to have a bad draw with a Sultai hand than it is with a Nexus deck or a Mono Blue deck. I think maybe best deck is a misnomer right now. It's a bad descriptor.
Okay.
The most consistent deck in Standard is Sultai Midrange, and that's the deck you should probably take if you want to get some wins in a tournament.
Okay. In a real tournament, like Friday Night Magic.
You could take your homebrew and maybe do well. I could probably take a Bant Nexus deck, hint, hint, and do pretty well because
right.
Bant Nexus is actually not even in the meta right now.
Right. I'm looking at I got to be honest with you. I've been looking at, and I'm really thinking about trying to put together, which means I'm going to have to buy some cards. I'm going to have to buy one Gutterbone, and I think I thought I had four Pelt Collectors. I got to check all my stuff because I thought for sure I had four. I've got three and a couple Growth Chamber Guardians, but I'm looking at this Jund Warriors, and I just love – you know me. This is my style of deck, okay,
mm-hmm.
where, you're playing three colors, but you put four Unclaimed Territories in there, and you say Warrior. And,
yep.
and these guys do not make any sense, to have Pelt – your major guys be Pelt Collector, Gutter Bones, Growth Chamber – Rick's Mahdi, Harpooner, and Chain Whirler. It makes absolutely no sense. Like, this deck should not work. Oh, and then they throw Rekindling Phoenix in to get it's your finisher. It makes absolutely no sense. And yet, I really like the way this deck looks.
You know what? I like it. I like it, too. And one of the biggest reasons is because it plays Rekindling Phoenix, which is actually my favorite card in Standard. It's one of my favorite cards of all time.
Yeah.
I actually bought the a copy of the art. I have it hanging in my office at work.
You're a weirdo.
It's a great piece of art. It's a beautiful picture.
Really,
it's a crazy good card. So, and I've been looking for an excuse to play my Rekindling Phoenixes. It's just that there hasn't been a deck that's really been able to catapult into the top of the metagame that plays it,
right.
which is a damn shame because it's such a good card.
But that's just it. I look at this Jund Warriors deck, and it looks like the kind of deck like Mono Blue was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other reason I look at this deck is that it's kind of almost rotation proof. Like, it may not be the best deck now, mm-hmm. but Pelt Collector's not going anywhere. Gutter Bones isn't going anywhere. Growth Chamber's not going anywhere. Rick's isn't going anywhere. Crawl isn't going anywhere. Chain Whirler will go somewhere, but Gruul Spellbreaker won't. Rekindling Phoenix will go somewhere. But those all be replaced.
Yeah, the only cards you lose are Chain Whirler, Phoenix, and a couple of the lands.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you do lose the Unclaimed Territory, though.
Yeah, you lose the Unclaimed Territory, which, that's if it doesn't get reprinted in 20, because it might.
It might.
One of those cards that you could see them reprinting, because it's a decent land. Other than that, it's, Lightning Strike will always be there somehow.
Yeah.
Find Finalities, it's staying. Collision Colossus is staying. Status Statue is staying. Like, it's really kind of like I look at this deck and I go, this is rotation proof.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think looking at this deck, we said it even when we first started this podcast, Jund kind of is where things are probably going to go. Like, because when you add the Riot, on top of the Spectacle, and then throw Adapt in there. Like, it's like, holy shitballs.
Jund is one of those, is a color combination. It's got a lot of raw power. I think the problem that it runs into is it can't It's just, well, it can't deal with enchantments, weirdly enough. I mean, even though it's green.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, it can't, for whatever reason, it just can't quite get its footing.
Well,
but it
that's why you keep cinder vines in the sideboard.
Yeah,
there's
yeah, yeah.
Two of those, Duresses, Angroth is in there.
So there's disruption in the sideboard.
Yeah.
It just, it needs, I'm trying to think of the word that it needs. It's just, it doesn't quite have that next level oomph.
Yeah.
The raw power is there,
right.
But it doesn't have just that it factor to really take it over the top. There's just something missing.
And I don't think you're wrong. I mean, do I think I might play it Friday because, you know, it might
It's not a bad deck by any
and
stretch.
And I don't think they'll be expecting it, because here's the thing. They see me now twice. I've played Nexus twice. They've seen me three times. I've played Nexus twice. I played Esper Control. They're going to be ready for us. You know, they're going to see me walk through the door and go, yep, we're going to play. We have to fight Nexus. So I'd love to have something that kind of counters that. Mm-hmm. And Jund Warriors would do that very well. As would then I look at Temur Nexus and I go, that could also be fun. You know, four Crawl Harpooners, three Jade Light Rangers, which is exactly what I have, by the way. I don't have my fourth. Two Biogenic Ooze, which I also have. Two Hydroid Krasis, which I have plenty of. You know, I could literally throw this deck together, no problem. Like, I have it complete. I have four Breeding Pools, four Harbors, four Memorial Genius, three Stomping Grounds, seven Islands, and four Forests. I could play this deck.
So here's the real question, though, since I gave my answer and you're obviously dancing around this.
Yes.
What do you think the best deck in Standard is? Or is there one?
Yeah, that's just it. I think the best deck in Standard right now is blue. I do. I think Autumn showed us how to pilot that deck. It requires a good pilot. That doesn't mean it's not the best deck. It just requires a good pilot.
I think that's a disqualifier.
I don't think it can be, because I mean, Sultai Midrange also requires the right pilot. If you don't know when to bring that Krasis out, you know, if you don't know when to Wild Growth Walker, or you know, if you don't know how to bring Wild Growth Walker out before your Branch Walker, you know, there are lots of decisions you have to make in that deck. Do you cast something down? Do you Assassin's Trophy? You know, when do you Assassin's Trophy? Like, you got to know to hold on to that for, you know, six or seven rounds so that the land doesn't hit you.
But Sultai is also a lot more forgiving than Mono Blue. Mono Blue punishes you a lot more for making a bad decision with that deck.
I don't disagree with that, but I think it is the best deck because it takes out Sultai Midrange. It takes out Esper Control. It takes out Azorius Aggro. You know, Simic Nexus. Is it Phoenix? Is it Phoenix actually is a bad matchup for blue? But, you know, it's not good for decks that can go wide. Like Azorius Aggro, Celestia Tokens, they actually have the best matchup against it because you can't, there's no board wipe. But, I mean, Sultai Midrange is definitely a great deck, and it is the most consistent. It's almost the Temur energy of two cycles ago. But
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah.
40% of the freaking decks played at a Mythic Champ, you know, and the reason is because it is the most consistent. Like, don't forget, a Mythic Championship has a sealed or some sort of limited format with it as well. So, you know, you kind of choose when you're choosing your constructed part of that, you're choosing the constructed deck that is the most consistent, has the best chance to get you the win. You know, it's won or lost really in the sealed part,
yeah.
You know. So Sultai Midrange is a consistent deck. Is it the best deck? I don't think so. I think it's top three. But I do. I think Mono Blue Tempo, I think from a sheer ability to shift everything, the ability to deal with every deck that's coming at you. And that's what's great about Standard right now is Standard is there. It is almost a, wheel, not a wheel, but almost like a mesh diagram of you know, this deck beats this deck, but it has problems with this deck, and this deck beats this deck. It's very meshy. Mono Blue, though, deals with most of the top 10 decks in a very, very real way. In Sultai midrange, you can Esper control it to death. You can Simic Nexus to death. You can, you know, Celestia tokens can run right around it. You know, it's, and I've beaten it many times with Nexus of Gates, you know, because it's hard to deal, you know, but it is, it's a consistently great deck. But I think it's the best deck? I think Mono Blue Tempo is the best deck. And I think, you know, its win percentage is going to show that. I think you're going to see it win another major tournament here in a week or two whenever they have the next standard, you know?
I don't think so, because that you have that many weeks for the metagame to adjust to it. And right now, Mono Blue Aggro has a target on its back.
I don't disagree with that. It does have a target on its back, thanks to
Autumn. This metagame has already shown the capability of the King of the Hill not lasting very long.
I don't disagree. And in the standard classic for Syracuse, I mean, Mono Blue didn't show up. It top eighted, but it top eighted at 8.
Yeah.
You know.
And that was a week after the Mythic Championship. So, I mean, people have already adjusted to it.
People are adjusting to it.
Sagittarius Volley.
And I'm seeing it in an arena. I mean, like I said, I mean, I was able to level up out of gold with blue, and now it's a lot tougher. So I have to adjust my deck. You know, and I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know if it's going to more of a Simic Nexus, you know, or the Gruul Aggro, or try. I don't think the Warrior. You're right about the Warrior. The Warrior would just be a fun deck to play.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Gruul Aggro is red with, you know, splashing green to be able to play some of the stuff in the sideboard and to play Dominant.
Gruul Aggro is tomato sauce with a little bit of basil sprinkled in.
Basically, yeah. and Direfleet Daredevil, which, by the way, I think is great card in this standard right now.
Mm-hmm. And it is probably one of the
most. It's one of the most underappreciated cards in standard right now because it kills. Is it Drakes? Like, oh, what? Oh, you need that instant or sorcery in your graveyard? Oh, sorry. Let me take that. I'm gonna take that from you. It's not in your graveyard no more. Your 12/12 Drake is now only 11/11.
Well, unless it's a Crackling Drake. Crackling Drake sees the Exile Zone too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, you would cast away. You would cast it. Oh, but then it goes back to their graveyard. It
goes back to their exile.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's a Lava Coil, you can kill one of their Drakes.
That's true, yeah. I love Lava Coil.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still, you know, I do. I think Mono Blue Tempo, Mono Blue Aggro, whichever flavor you want to go with, I think that's the best deck in Standard by far. I don't think there's anybody by far.
That's basically making my point for me, which basically means I win.
No, I'm not making your point for you. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
You said Sultai midrange.
But I said there's no best deck, and you basically just said the same thing. So victory, mine claimed,
no,
over,
No, you didn't
done.
Say that. You said Sultai midrange. Your answer was absolutely Sultai midrange.
Check the tape. Check the tape. I win.
I think that Sultai midrange is the best deck in Standard right now. If I had to pick one, I would pick Sultai midrange.
And you had to pick one, and you did. So there you go.
I still win.
You don't win. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give that to you. But, you know, what do you guys think? Let us know. Send us messages, emails, Facebooks. You know, send us an email. We'd love it. podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. I mean, and again, if you're looking through the rest of the top 10, I mean, you can make a case for Simic Nexus. The fact that it won in Syracuse, like, I'm looking at this guy's deck list. Not a bad idea. The Frilled Mystic is the only change I see in here. And I'm like, smart call. He did. He kind of went for more of a control. He went with a – he had a Sinister Sabotage main. He had a Frilled Mystic main. He had three blinks of an eye. That's a good start.
I think blink of an eye is kind of a standard thing in Simic Nexus now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely an interesting list. I mean, he's got – the only problem I see with Simic Nexus is that – other than Krasis, how do you win?
You raised a valid point.
You know?
And you don't even have the Teferi like win condition.
That's the only thing I see. I mean, the mana is much more consistent because it's only two colors.
Right.
And I do like that aspect of it, but it's like, it's Krasis or bust, really.
Yeah. And he's only running two in the main, which I'm like, really? Wow.
That's actually kind of... The problem with Nexus decks is that so much of the deck is taken up by like four or five slots. You have to have four Search for Ezcanta. Yeah. You have to have four Root Snares. You have to have four Wilderness Reclamation. You have to have four Nexus. You have to have four Kempster's Insights. You have to have four Growth Spirals. You have to run at least 25 lands, if not 26.
Well, I think, and that's why I like Nexus of Gates, is because here's the thing. I don't run any of the Ezcanta. I do run four Hydroid. I do run four Gatebreakers. I have one Angel. I don't run the Gate Colossus. Instead of the Gate Colossus, I wanted four Gates Ablaze, four Circuitous Roots, and I wanted the Frilled Mystics. Mm. Because I found that the Frilled Mystics saves my ass. I don't run any of the Open the Gates, stuff like that. I don't. Wow, Deafening Clarion. Yeah, interesting. And I run three Expansion Explosions in the main. Right. And then, because that, to me, is my win con. You know, Expansion Explosion is how you win that game. Because if you have Wilderness Reclamation out, which this also doesn't have, interesting. Nexus of Gates without Wilderness Rec. Because I do run four of those as well, because Expansion Explosion is the win con. Like, at the end step, I tap my lands, I untap them, tap four, tap 12. So... It untap 16 more, untap 16 more, 32 to your face, you know.
And even if that doesn't kill him, half the time it decks him.
Right. So, you know, I love that. I might play it again. One more week because it's fun deck. It's a fun deck. There's no way around it. It's a fun deck. So, I think that's a good enough for combat situation now. I mean, the best decks right now, you know what? Here's the best deck. The best deck in Standard right now is the one you got the cards for that you enjoy playing. Period.
Yes, that is the correct answer, sir.
So, I mean, so there we go. I actually won this time. Thank you very much. Let's go to main phase.
Main phase.
Okay, so main phase two. So, Aramis, how's it going? How's Arena been?
I don't want to talk about it.
Do we think that they did something programmatically? Because it seems like since they did the reissue, like something happened.
Well, this is the thing. When they do the reset, I believe even if you're all the way up into Diamond, I think you still get dropped into Gold.
Yeah, Diamond will bring you. No, Diamond will bring you to Plat. You go down one. Okay. If you're Diamond 4, you go to Gold. If you're Plat, you know, if you're above Plat 1, you know, you go to Silver or Bronze or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you go to Gold. You go to Gold.
Yeah, you go to Gold if you're above Plat 1, you go to Gold. But if you're Plat 4, or above Plat 4, you go to Gold. But if you're like Plat 4, I think it takes you down to like Gold 2. So it's good. Hmm. I'm having a bitch of a time.
Like I said, because of the reset, it takes a long time to get up to those higher ranks. So you have a lot of those people who are like close to Mythic who are now a lot lower. So the competition's a lot stiffer right now since it's the beginning of the season. And a lot of people coming up through Silver, they've gotten better. So I think right now it's just a rough patch. You just got to slog through it. I have not had a lot of good fortune playing recently.
Yeah.
It's been a little frustrating because I really enjoy playing Nexus, but
but you can't. It's almost like you can't.
It's almost like you can't, and it is a little discouraging. But it's pushing through that wall. You know, maybe I have to make some adjustments to the deck. I haven't really had a chance to look at it, but I'm not ready to abandon it yet. You know, because it's a lot of fun. It's a deck that I can actually build in paper and. You know, if I can play it, I'm going to play it. So, I don't know.
I still think you should build either a Gate deck or that Warrior deck, personally. But that's just me.
So, what have you been up to in Arena?
Well, like I said earlier, I've kind of had the similar luck you have. You know, what really got me through Gold after I got out of Gold 3 was, you know, to realize that I just have to spam Blue. Like, no matter what. And the win con for blue and the win percentage, I mean, I was doing, I think I was at 65%. Like, because blue was just winning. And best of one, by the way, best of one. Don't play best of three with blue. Best of three is bad. Best of one. But best of three, I tend to play Nexus of Gates. And I've been having a mixed reaction. I think I'm at 48, 49%. Mainly because, again, it's the same thing, you know, and it's just, and I'm getting beat by these weird decks. I got beat the other night by an Aristocrats deck that I should have rolled over. Mm-hmm. And Mana Screw. Oh my frickin' Lord. Like, I'm running 26 lands in a gate deck and I draw two. And then I mulligan and I draw none. Almost exclusively. I'm almost always going to five. And then I'm drawing three lands. It's like, oh, for frack's sake. You know, and again, I'm not trying to down Arena. And
sure, it's totally random.
Okay, bullcrap. It's not totally random. But it I get it. Okay, I get it. And it's a part of doing the game. And if I play a lot more, then, you know, but it's hard also not to get frustrated. Yeah. Like, if and we spoke of it earlier. I mean, the guys that where I work, it's tough on them. And I understand it. Nobody wants to play a guy who's just constantly showing up with, like, his, you know, his big decks because I make good money, so I can go out and buy the cards I need. And so I come in there and I play these guys with these meta decks, and they're playing these, you know, homebrew stuff, and it just, they can't hang, and it's frustrating. And and I get it when I'm playing Arena, and I'm feeling the same damn thing. And I was like, I really want to build some of these, like, the Gruul Aggro deck, and I'm like, shit, I ain't got none of this because I spent all my wild cards on, you know, other stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's been tough. Obviously, I'm going to keep playing. I'm going to play over the weekend. We don't have kids this weekend, so I have a little more time to do it. We'll be playing Friday night, obviously, at the store. Right. But, you know, for the most part, right now, I just would like to, I'd like to win a little. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, we'll update next week on how it's looking. I mean, I may switch some decks around. I may try to play a little more mono-red because, again, it's stable-ish. Mm-hmm. The best-of-one brew that I put together for mono-red can kind of hang, you know, and it will win a few games against these Gruul Aggro decks that are taking two or three turns to get going. It's just, you know, you feel a little, it's weird. A lot of people feel dirty playing Nexus. I feel dirty playing mono-red. So... I don't know.
Yeah, I lost to a mono red deck. He actually killed me before I was able to play a spell.
Really?
Yeah, turn four, I was dead.
Oh, well, if he gets turn one, he shocks you. You know, turn
nope.
two, he, if he has another shock, if he has a shock and then the stage there, not light up the stage, but the other one there,
Skewer the critics.
So oh, now yeah, you're no, down to 13 at the end of turn two, and it was turn bad. Three, he's lighting up the stage, he's playing...
I think it was turn one, let me think, turn one, Gitu Lava Runner.
Oh, yeah.
Turn two, shock, attack, light up the... Skewer the critics.
You're down to 13.
Turn three was Lava Runner, Wizard's Lightning, Skewer the Critics, attack. And then turn four was like Lightning Strike and Banefire for two.
Yeah, it's like, and fuck off. So
yeah, it was exactly 20 damage too. I was like, okay, I can't do anything about that.
Yep, not much you could do. Tell me you were streaming at the time. I need to go find that.
No, this was like 20 minutes. This was like 20 minutes before we started streaming.
Yeah, you stopped streaming tonight. When you're losing this bad, don't you? You're like, I don't want to stream.
Well, no, because I didn't know what time we were going to start recording tonight. So
no, I'm the same way though. I kind of like. Yeah. I hate streaming and losing. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, my last stream, I lost a lot. But I kept going. I tried to end on a positive note. I wasn't quite able to do what I wanted to do, but I think I got a couple of wins in. So I was like, all right, that's not too bad. I kept saying one more. I keep
yeah,
losing,
you just
got
you want to end on a good note. So
yeah, I think I was able to do that. But yeah, it's been a slog.
Yeah, and I get it. It's tough, and it. Arena can be, yeah.
We just got to get good.
We just have to get good. You know, and so, well, here's the thing. Next Monday, we'll be back in here recording. The last thing I want to talk about tonight is it's also March 11th. And you know what happens March 11th?
An angel gets its wings?
Yes, and BNR, Banned and Restricted, is going to come out. Or Banned and, what is it, Banned and Restricted or Banned and
Restricted? Yeah, Banned and Restricted list, yeah.
So the last time this happened in February of last year, around this time, no, actually, it might have been March, was Rampaging for Ossidon, and basically they killed Temur Energy. This time, they had that out of band one for Nexus Best of One. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm wondering, what do you think's going to... Do you think next Monday they're going to go ahead and ban Nexus in paper?
No.
No.
I think the Banned and Restricted announcement will come and go with nary a peep from Wizards of the Coast.
Interesting.
I think Standard will remain as is, only because... It's wide open. There is, I mean, yeah, okay. Nexus is dangerous. So is Mono Blue. So is Sultai. So is, you know, Esper Control. Teferi is dangerous. You know, they're
but
not going
to
ban anything.
But Sultai, but again, not to beat this horse that's been dead for a while. I mean,
poor
Nexus
horse
is not interactive. That's the problem. I could see them banning Nexus next week. I don't think they'll do Wilderness Wreck yet. I think Wilderness Wreck will come next year, but I don't think they'll do Wilderness Wreck yet.
I don't think so. I don't know. It's just I have a feeling they're not going to do it to paper. Doing it in Magic Arena is a different thing because you're technically not paying for copies of it.
Right.
I find it really hard to believe that they would ban a card that people have to shell out money to even have a chance to get.
Well, but then again, nobody should have four because it was a buy a box promo. So
right.
You know. It's an interesting question.
They would be naive to think that people wouldn't buy extra copies.
Well, I don't think they intended. Again, I don't think they did the math with Teferi, is what happened. They were like, no one's going to really bust this. It's a 7-mana spell. Who's going to cast
it? But also, here's the thing. Nobody plays Teferi with Nexus anymore.
True.
Except me, but, you know, whatever.
Teferi's not being played much at all. I mean, it's an Esper Control, and that's it.
That's it. That's it in Standard. That's it in Standard.
Right.
He's replaced Jace the Mind Sculptor in Modern.
Yes, he has.
Which is saying something.
Yes. So, I don't know. I think next week when we record, we may have some really great news on that. As far as news of, like, you know, not great, because I think we'd both be upset. But news of, like, you know, good for the show. It's content.
Yeah.
But with that, I think we should go ahead and back this train up, you know, and start cleaning up. So. All right, so end step. We're going to have a great week next week, I think. We're back on schedule. It's good to be here for Monday nights. You know, Friday night will be at Kerwin's Game Store. If anyone's local to the Capital Region of New York, feel free to come on out and get smacked around by us. You know, anything you want to say there?
Not really. I mean, I think you've pretty much covered all our bases. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this Friday. I'm glad we're back on schedule. And just looking forward to all the stuff that's coming up. I mean, like we've been saying, War of the Spark, I cannot wait to see what happens with that set to wrap things up, wrap up that story. See all the Planeswalkers everywhere.
Yeah, I have a feeling you might be right about the Planeswalker thing. Well, listen, guys, if you want to find out more about us, we'd love to. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast. We are on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're anywhere you can get a podcast. I'd like to think we're in there. You know, feel free to do that. You can email us. We'd love to have emails and questions and stuff that we can answer. You can email us at podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @WRBenson. You can find me on Twitch. It's MindCrime73. What about you, Aramis? Where can people find you should you wish to be found?
I am on Twitch. It's RMECWRX. So ARMEKWRX.
Okay. And we do have a Planeswalkers podcast, so when we stream, it actually does go there. You can look us up
yes.
if you just want to find us there. You know, but we'd love to see you guys on there. We try to stream pretty regularly. It's not a scheduled thing. I know all the rules say we should do it, but we just don't. So come on,
we're not there yet.
We're in our 40s. Stuff happens. But
speak for yourself, sir. I got some time left.
Yeah, shut up. Not much. So anyway. Listen, I'm going to go have my peanut brittle and my ribbon candy here and go yell some kids to get off my lawn. So I got to go. But
don't forget to talk to your cats while you're watching Matlock.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Murder, She Wrote. Excuse me. Murder, She Wrote. I had a thing for Angela Lansbury. We won't discuss that. But hey, she was hot, man.
I'm not.
Bed knobs and broomsticks, baby. Anyway,
not even gonna. That's gonna
all
be
right,
no for
that's
dog.
Gonna be that'll be the end of our episode. Is bed knobs and broomsticks? That's gonna be the hashtag for today.
That just happened.
But we will be back next Monday night, right around the same time, around 7:30, 8 o'clock, somewhere in there. We're going to record, talk about what happens this coming Friday when we're at the store. And, guys, we just really appreciate you listening. We hope you have a great day, a great week. Take care, and we'll see you soon.